السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين. صدق الله العظيم. We continue with our discussion on Surah Yasin Sharif. Yesterday I mentioned that from the wazifas that we always ask for, one of the powerful wazifas is the recitation of Surah Yasin. However, we should not think that this Surah Yasin was only revealed for the removal of some difficulties of ours related to this world. It was revealed so that we may read it, we may understand it, we may make amal on it, and then get our difficulties of both this world and the akhirat removed. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi has stated that Surah Yasin has been mentioned as the heart of the Quran Sharif because it discusses at great length in the most beautiful manner the coming of akhirat, the coming of the hereafter, the accountability on the day of judgment, and then what will be the end result. So because it is discussed in this verse, and one of the fundamental pillars of faith is the belief in the akhirat, so we will discuss some ayat of Yasin Sharif just to give an idea of what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala expects of us. No doubt this surah has been revealed for the benefit of this world too. And not only this surah, all surahs of the Quran Sharif, if a person has to make amal, then he will get the benefit of this world too. Allah Ta'ala will not deprive him of the ni'mats of this world if he is going to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. How can Allah Ta'ala deprive him? Yes, outwardly our eyes may see that this person is a very pious person, is a wali of Allah Ta'ala, but yet he's got patches on his clothes, doesn't have much bank balance, he doesn't have a good car, doesn't have a good home, he's going through kinds of problems. Like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions, they went through such difficulties and such trials that we can't even imagine. And yet, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our eyes could see something else from the outside. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to those who are his friends and his walis and those who are obedient to him and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he gives them gardens within his heart, within their hearts. Sometimes he gives both this world too in abundance, and akhirat is there for them in abundance. But sometimes he does not give to them outwardly those things which we consider as great ni'mats. So we think that these people are suffering tremendously. But if they have got Allah Ta'ala's love and muhabbat in their hearts, then Allah Ta'ala gives them gardens in their hearts. And this is not something that we can explain by means of words. Mana ke meer gulshane jannat to dur hai. Mana ke meer gulshane jannat to dur hai. Arif hai magar dil mein khaliq e jannat liye hue. O Mir, I know that the gardens of jannat are far away. You'll have to go through this world into the akhirat, and after hisab kitab the person then enters into jannat, then he will enjoy gardens. But he says here in this very world, those who are obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are carrying the creator of those gardens of jannat in their hearts. Now imagine if you have the creator of those gardens with you in the hearts, then you are enjoying the fragrance of every flower that is in that garden. In the garden also there are thorns. The beautiful rose flowers also have thorns. So in this world also there could be some kind of situations which we will term as thorny situations, that the person is going through some difficulties. But if he is obedient to Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he shuns all vices and evil, distances himself from those things that are displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in the midst of those thorns, It will be like that flower that is blooming. Allah Ta'ala will give him gardens like that in his heart. And this is not a fantasy world that I'm talking about. It is a reality. It is a haqiqat. But for every word, there is a reality and there is a literal meaning. If we say dairy, then dairy does not mean 1 liter of milk. When we talk about a dairy, then we don't talk about 1 liter of milk and call it a dairy. If a person, we say that is a wealthy person, he's got plenty of money, or if somebody says that I've got money with me, so if that person has got 1 rand with him, then we won't call him a person with plenty of money. Yet he is true in his word that I've got money with me. So in the same way, our iman, our yaqeen, and these words which we use, taqwa and sabr and shukr and zuhad and qanaat, they all have got a literal meaning and they have also got a reality behind it. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He revealed this verse for the benefit of man, for the benefit of the believers, for both their worldly problems and the problems of the hereafter. Rasulullah is reported to have said that whosoever recites Surah Yasin Sharif sincerely for the pleasure of Allah and for the fruits of the akhirat, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive his sins. Therefore recite it over your dead. Now these sins that we talk about are the minor sins which we commit in abundance. So the recitation of that, Allah Ta'ala will forgive those sins. Now recitation for the dead, that they passed away, unfortunately many of them could have been indulging in many kinds of sins and vices. But now it is too late, their chapter is closed. They can't go and do some good deeds now or make tawbah and istighfar. So you recite it and send the sawab to them. Allah Ta'ala will remove the difficulties of the qabr and of the akhirat. And if a person is in his dying moments, when he is in sakrat, then at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, recite it, it will ease the pangs of pain. His sakrat will be made easy. And this is something that we all know, and it is coming down through the ages, that when a person is about to die, then everybody takes out the Yasin Sharif and we say recite Yasin Sharif. So again, once the benefit is there, that that person is about to die and we are going to recite Yasin Sharif, so it will reduce that pain, or it will make his sakrat easy. That sakrat from which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection, and he taught us that must make dua that, oh Allah, protect me from the difficulties of sakrat. So the person is reciting Yasin Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is making that person sakrat, his dying moments, easy. But then, was the Quran Sharif or was Yasin Sharif revealed so that we wait until a person is dying, then we take out Yasin Sharif and read over it? Definitely not. Yasin Sharif is for us, for the living ones. I keep saying that Yasin Sharif is not for the dying one. The benefit is there for the dying one, there's no doubt. But it is for us, the living ones. Now how many of us took out Surah Yasin Sharif? We recited it and then we took one translation, commentary of the Quran Sharif, which is authentic, and then looked up the meaning and then developed our iman or developed our yaqeen in the akhirat. Oh, now akhirat came before our eyes after reciting of Yasin Sharif, when we read about the terrors of the day of Qiyamah and about accountability. So whenever we are in our business house, or when we are in the hotel room, or whenever we are at an airport, or whether we are traveling or at home, when we are in our family, the moment we get the temptation to commit sin, straight away Yasin Sharif comes before us, that there is an akhirat, there is a day of judgment, I am answerable, I am accountable. So how can I indulge in zina? How can I steal? How can I abuse the wife, the children? How can I ill-treat the parents? How can I cheat the customers? How can I hide the defects which are in a garment or in an article, or in a car that I am selling? How can I do all these things? Because there is an akhirat. Yasin Sharif flashes before the person's eye. So that is Yasin Sharif. Therefore Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that it is my heart's desire. Now whose heart's desire it is? The desire of the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says it's my heart's desire that everyone from the ummat of mine, everyone from my ummat, he memorizes Surah Yasin Sharif. It was his desire that everybody must memorize Surah Yasin Sharif. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had such great love for the ummat, now he is expressing a desire. When a child loves the father, mother, now the father or the mother before the dying day makes some wasiyat and says that, oh my dear child, it is my heart's desire that you do this or do that. Now that person will go on talking. No, one thing I always remember, my mother said this before she passed away, my father said this before he passed away, and I must do this, I must do that. Now here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is expressing a desire. And also when a person loves someone, when a person loves someone, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed away from this world, but we believe in Hayatun Nabi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that is his nasiyat, that we should be memorizing Yasin Sharif. Or if a person, he loves his father, loves his mother, loves his wife, loves his children, whoever it is. Now when the person who is his beloved expresses a desire, then the true lover goes out of his way to make sure that he brings for that beloved whatever the beloved has desired. That is the rule, or that is the principle of love, that the person tries to please the beloved. Otherwise, what kind of love is that? As I've given that example many times of Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, where the person was sitting next to a dog and the dog was dying. So somebody asked him that, why are you crying? He said, because this dog is dying. It is in the throes of death. So he said, if it is dying, why is it dying? It's dying of starvation, no food. It is hungry. So he said, what have you got in your basket? He said, in the basket I've got some meat, some bread. So he said, if you've got such love for that dog, then why don't you give that meat and bread to that dog? He said, no, this meat and bread I paid for, and the tears are free. So now we call that love. So our love for Islam is like that. That is the kind of love for Islam that we have these days. I shed a few tears and forget about it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have got true love for him, then we will go out of our way to memorize Surah Yasin Sharif, because he has expressed his desire. Even if we learn one ayat a day, someday we will complete the memorization of Surah Yasin Sharif. But we have the time to read the newspapers from page one to the end, all the magazines, all the novels, to listen to radio broadcasts and news and TV stations, watch all the programs. For that we have plenty of time, and for all our business activities. But if we say take out 5 minutes a day, just sit down in the masjid and learn one ayat of Surah Yasin Sharif a day. Now for that we will say, no, it's very difficult, we've got no time for it. So then where is that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And for whom was he saying it? Was it going to benefit him? If we are going to memorize it and read it, who is it going to benefit? One of the names of Surah Yasin Sharif is Dafi'ah. That means it wards off balas that come, difficulties, trials, hardships. The person who recites it regularly, then it wards off that difficulty. We don't know when it's coming, how it's coming, from where it's coming. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows. Now this person recited Surah Yasin Sharif, that difficulty, that bala that was coming, Allah ta'ala sent it away, took it away. Dafiya. And another name also is Qadiya, that the hajat of the person, the needs of the person. When the person recites Surah Yasin Sharif, makes dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then goes out, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fulfills those needs. There are many other names that have been given to Surah Yasin Sharif. So one of the ayats of this Surah Yasin Sharif, which I recited at the beginning, is وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ. When these kuffar, these mushrikeen, when they are told that from that which Allah ta'ala has blessed you, that risk, that sustenance, that wealth, that property, whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to you, أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ, then from there give, from whatever Allah Ta'ala has blessed you as risk, then from there give. Now here Allah Ta'ala has mentioned risk. there is great discussion that we are not only talking about the risk like food and drink and clothes. Allah Ta'ala has blessed a person with a risk which is also of the spiritual kind. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given so many people different things. So whatever Allah Ta'ala has given, from that He says, now give. It is us who gave it to you. Now from there, now you give to the poor, to the needy, to the widows, to the orphans, to the destitute, to the people who are handicapped, those who cannot, do not have that kind of intelligence. Then assist them and help them to fill up their forms, make their applications, whatever it is. And if Allah Ta'ala has given knowledge, then pass on that knowledge. But in general, this is what it means, that the food, the drink, the clothes, the property, whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to you as a risk, now give to the poor and needy. That is the bottom line. So what they used to say, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا نطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه. Should we feed, just the meaning of it, that should we feed, the kuffar now used to say to the believers, when the verses of the Quran Sharif told them that this is what you should be doing. So the kuffar used to tell the believers that must we feed those people whom if Allah Ta'ala had wanted, He could have fed Himself. Now this was their sarcastic reply. In other words, that you are saying that Allah Ta'ala is the provider of risk and sustenance. You are saying that Allah Ta'ala's treasures are unlimited. You are saying that the control of all treasures lie in the hands of Allah. And He is the one who is giving every person his risk and sustenance. So then why are you asking us who are human beings to give from what we have to the poor, to the needy, to the orphans, to the destitute? Doesn't Allah Ta'ala have sufficient to give it to them? Can you understand how shaitan works on the minds of people? How people go astray? If a person has to look at it on the surface, then it seems logical, na'uzu billah, that Allah Ta'ala is the provider, so He must provide for everybody. Why must He ask us to now take off from that which we have and give to the others? Now, to understand this, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got certain sawab, certain rewards, certain stages in Jannat. Allah Ta'ala wants to give certain position. Now how is that person going to get that if he is not going to have some kind of opportunity to get those rewards? So therefore Allah Ta'ala has created somebody poor, somebody rich, or Allah Ta'ala makes somebody poor, somebody rich, somebody sick, somebody healthy, somebody handicapped and somebody mobile, and all the different things Allah Ta'ala gives in different quantities to different people. So that the poor may get, the poor, they will get the reward of sabr. In the sabr that they are making, they are inna allaha ma'as sabirin. They will make an effort, they will go to the bazaar, to the marketplace, they will do whatever they have to do to try and earn a living. But in that difficulty that they are experiencing, the sick in the difficulty that they are experiencing, any other trial that a person is going through, now the sabr that he is making, whilst making the effort, the sabr that he will have to make, inna allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah Ta'ala is with him. Allah Ta'ala is now giving this person the opportunity, the poor person the opportunity to get his closeness, to get his marifat, to get the namats of Jannat. So he is not at a loss too. And on the other hand, the rich person, now here there is an opportunity that there are people who are starving, who are suffering in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, in South Africa and Africa and other parts of the world where there's drought and famine. So now this person who has got his wealth, from there now he is spending and he is getting rewards, 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 and he is getting closeness of Allah Ta'ala, and by means of his shukr over those ni'mats, he is also getting Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah we will continue with this. After that, what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, and what lesson we should be taking from that ayat. If Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity to continue, inshallah we'll continue tomorrow. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.